Up next, the news you can use from YAA.
It's your 30-minute fix for all your car questions,
industry news, and tips you can use when buying your next vehicle.
We're your hosts, Ray and Zach Shevska, the founders of YAA.
We're here every weekday, live at noon Eastern. Check us out at joinyaa.com. Come on, get in! Well, it's noon here on the East Coast, and this is news that you can use from YAA with your dear friends and hosts, Zach and Ray. And this is, by the way, Friday, June 24th, for those of you keeping score at home.
So that means?
It's just so you know what day and time it is. Yeah.
Pops, I think someone's at the door. Can you let him in?
Oh, my God. It's the F&I goddess herself, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Kimberly Klein.
Hi.
Kimberly, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling really good now that I get to see both of your smiling faces.
Smiling faces.
Why is... yeah, that's a video by Ray. We'll get that out later. But yeah. Zach, why are you sitting in front of Ford again? This concerns me.
Yeah.
All week. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, here we go.
All righty. So we've got a YAA community member sent this in to me. Thank you to this YAA community member. This is a bill of sale for a Ford F-150 Lightning. Now, I did a little bit of research here. If we zoom in, we can see, and this is a very, very, very good investigative research. The price is $93,264. Okay, got it. That must be the MSRP. There's then a $50,000 market adjustment. Okay, that seems a bit egregious. And then we get to ultimately our selling price, the total out the door price, of $153,982.87. Now, guys, we've talked a lot about Ford on this show.
Yes.
Remember, they sent out a memo.
Memo.
Igor, this is still a strongly worded memo. Okay. Yeah. It has come to our attention that a limited number of dealerships are interacting with customers in a manner that is negatively impacting customer satisfaction and damaging the Ford Motor Company brand and dealer body reputation. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And the idea is let's treat customers fairly. Let's be honest, transparent. And we even had earlier this week, we talked about Mike Levine, who is the director or the head of North American Product Communications for Ford. He called out different media organizations like ours who had said that a dealership actually added a $70,000 market adjustment to an F-150. He said, no, the dealer confirmed it was just a mistake and that they accidentally inputted the MSRP online twice. I promise you this is coming full circle. The FTC just yesterday put out this article on their website. Proposed FTC rule looks under the hood at car buying process. You know what they found, guys? After 100,000 reports of consumers bringing it to their attention questionable practices, they realized that what they need to do is put a rule in place that actually includes a true, quote, offering price, excluding only taxes and government fees, a provision aimed at helping consumers comparison shop. Dad, Kimberly, what they got at here is the advertised price should actually be what the price is. Now, back, $153,000 for this. What's that VIN number? 1FT6W, right? 1FT, everyone at home, 1FT6W. I just happened to search for cars that are for sale at Gillespie Ford. Why not? Let's just see.
Yeah.
They actually have this Ford F-150 here. It's $93,264. Seems similar, maybe. So let's look at it really quick.
Okay.
Let's look at the details. 1FT6W.
What's the last
1FT? Okay, last six.
That's
what counts. Yeah.
G03461.
Oh.
Ah. Oh, G0. Look at that.
3461 advertised price is $93,264. Now, guys, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah,
is that
will
false
I buy
advertising?
It for you?
No, is that false advertising? Is that illegal? Is that against the law?
Well, apparently, it's not against the law. It should be against some type of it's against ethical standards, but it's not against the law. And you know, obviously the FTC understands that at the moment it's not against the law. You know what else they found when they looked under the hood? A lot of dead bodies from people that choked to death on the payments that they got because they paid $50,000 in additional dealer markup.
I think it's illegal. I'm fairly certain you can't advertise like that and change the price. That's illegal.
Well, I think that what's happening is the people are getting there. And when it's time for delivery, when you take delivery, AKA sign all your paperwork, you're ready to seal it all. That's where you're getting hit with front ads and additional made up fees. And all of a sudden it's not 90 something, it's 100 and something,
40 something. But is it illegal? Probably in some states. You know, they have laws on the books that say you can't advertise a price that you won't sell it at. That the advertised price has to be what the consumer can buy it for. But the problem is that even in those states, nobody is checking. Nobody is bringing any actions against these dealers that are doing this on a daily basis. So if there's no policing of the guidelines that are set up, or that the consumer laws that are already set up to protect the consumers, if there's no downside to the dealers for doing what they're doing, then why wouldn't they continue doing it?
Bingo. But didn't I just build the case literally in 3 minutes for like how it's happening? And we even have the bill of sale for this one because a community member went to that dealership got the bill of sale. I mean, that's like, usually we're just complaining because on the front end, they're advertising a price with a market adjustment. This is an example of they're advertising the price at MSRP and they're lying. We have a bill of sale.
Yes. Yes. And but it all comes down to enforcement from the local entities, whether it be the state attorney general or the consumer affairs division at the state attorney general's office. If nobody is enforcing the existing laws and rules and regulations regarding dealership advertising practices for vehicles, if nobody's enforcing it, it doesn't matter that the rules and regulations exist. Now, should the FTC do what they hope to be able to do in the future? Absolutely. But if they don't enforce it, it doesn't matter. It's all, how's a nice way of saying, it's all BS. It's all just lip service. And until there's an attorney general somewhere who says, no, we're actually going to protect the citizens of the state that I was elected to protect, until that person exists and actually does it, these guys are just going to keep doing what they're doing. And I'm not saying it's right that they do what they're doing. I'm saying it's absolutely wrong and unethical. But they, if they're not paying a price for doing it, what's going to stop them?
Yeah, and you're talking about, there's a couple of different authorities here. The FTC, which equals law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And they want to enforce. I mean, when you hear law enforcement, listen, in the finance office, if the CFPB or the Consumer Financial Protective Bureau said something, we didn't care because we knew it was never going to happen. They're just a lot of this. But if the FTC came in and said something, we're scared. We're scared. So hopefully the FTC will put things in motion and get things started. And in this article, Zach, it's a proposed rule. At this point, it's a proposed rule that would require dealers to get consumers clear written consent before charging them, for example, for add-ons, which is why we here at YAA are huge, huge proponents of challenging that by show me the contract so I can see where it gives me the option to decline this. I'm hopeful that the FTC will do what Ray just described and really enforce this. But, you know, right now, these things are proposed rules.
I was going to say, and it seems to me, Kimberly, it shouldn't have to come from the federal level. There are 50 states plus the District of Columbia, okay? And every state has their own laws, statutes, rules, regulations regarding vehicle advertising and things of that nature. But if the states don't enforce it, okay, I mean, why do the feds have to get involved if the states aren't taking care of their own citizenry that the state officials were elected to take care of? It boils down to, it's a pretty simple concept in that you go to work every day and you collect a paycheck to do your job. So the concept is, do your job as the Attorney General. And if the FTC's gotten 100,000 complaints, and we know how many complaints like they got in Texas before the lawsuit was filed against Carvana, you know that there's these any number of complaints getting filed on a daily basis at the Attorney General's offices throughout all 50 states and the District of Columbia. And if you don't act on them, you're not doing your job. And if you're not doing your job, then you shouldn't cash your paycheck every 2 weeks. Just do your job. Do your damn job.
I agree. Whenever I read things like this, yes, Ray, do your damn job.
Yeah.
Whenever I read things like this, sometimes I get, and I'm seeing more and more and more articles like this, but I almost get the feeling, and maybe I'm wrong, guys, keep me straight here, but I almost get the feeling like the authorities, like the FTC or like the CF, they're like surprised. Dealerships are doing this? I kind of get that feeling that they're surprised by all of this. While meantime, all we consumers out here are dealing with it on a daily basis in every state. So I don't know.
I'm pretty sure, Zach, that every one of these attorney generals has had to go out and purchase a vehicle. So they know it, and all the people, and even though they all act surprised, and all the people at the FTC that act surprised, every one of these people has purchased a car. They know what it's like. They know how the system is set up, okay? And it's not set up to the consumer's advantage. They know it. They deal with it personally, and they choose not to do anything about it. It's a choice. It's a conscious decision that's being made daily in every one of these states in the District of Columbia to just turn a blind eye to it. Meanwhile, consumers are getting ripped off for billions of dollars.
Yes.
Billions with a B.
With a B.
And in a time when people are finding it more and more difficult to be able to survive, and state, federal, and local governments are allowing the ripoff to continue. I'm sorry. You really got me going today, buddy.
Do your job was the slogan of the Patriots when they won all those Super Bowls. Sounds like you could be onto something there, Pops.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you telling me? We need to create a football team?
All right. How about this comment here from Justice? There's a couple comments that I want to pull up from the chat.
Yeah.
Nope. The FTC goes in to buy a car and says, do you know who I am? And they get a great price. You've got to imagine that when Josh Shapiro in the state of Pennsylvania, for example, goes in to buy a car, he's getting treated fairly when they run that credit app and they're like, oh, crap, he's the attorney general of the state, right? Like that has to happen.
Well, but until they realize he's the attorney general, what's the BS he had to put up with first?
They're in bed together. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, and we will keep all of us afloat and make as much money as we possibly can.
It's kind of hilarious when you start to read through the actual proposal. So, for example, the FTC has that, you know, page that's like, you know, maybe 700 words talking about what they're going to do, and then they've got
126 pages. I counted them, yes.
Yeah. There you go. And And look at what they're proposing. Like, let's just be very clear here. This provision would further require that upon receipt of a consumer inquiry about a specific vehicle or price or financing term for any vehicle, the dealer must disclose the offering price of that vehicle, and that if any part of such an inquiry response is made in writing, the offering price must be disclosed in writing as well. Like, we're literally just talking about, as a consumer, yes, being able to get the actual, like, you all know what we've done on the Join YA website. Like, we don't even know what the actual price of the car is going to be. But if I want to buy a Toyota RAV, let's just see first. Well, I guess there's two RAV4s. Let's see. Like, we put the out the door price here simply as a way to, and it's an estimate because we don't know. Like, that's what they're literally getting at. That's what the FTC is getting at, is every dealership would be required to actually send you this. That makes a lot of sense. We're like, we're like at the preschool level right now in terms of the asks we have from our government to be able to get us, like, I don't know, the price. And it reminds me a little bit of what Steven's bringing up here. Like, why'd we get Monroney labels? Why'd we get window stickers? You know, like, isn't that the whole point, so that we can know what we're actually buying? And it's not happening right now.
Yes. Well said, Zach. Whenever I saw that and I clicked on the proposal and saw 126 pages, the first thing I said was, of course, we have a simple ask, and that is, you advertise fairly, you show us, give us the price. That's it. But we need a 126 page proposal to even think about it first.
Yeah, this requires 126 pages. Like, I don't know, you could get it all on one page, probably in two paragraphs, for goodness sake. But it's all filled with government speak and legalese and lawyer speak. It's really plain and simple. What's the damn price of the car?
Yes.
Okay, does the advertised price of the car match the price that you're selling me the car for, plus state fees? So. Or fees. So what they're saying is the price has to include, if there's a dealer dock fee, it has to include the dock fee, because the only thing you can add is sales tax and government fees, not dealer fees. So that doesn't take 126 pages. That doesn't take 4 to 6 months of comment period. That takes about 4 to 6 minutes of common damn sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And look at it and go, we know it's wrong. Why are we going to piss away 6 months before we even implement it? And then after 6 months, that's the comment period. Then we have to talk about it some more amongst ourselves, you know, why we're having coffee and cake. And then maybe a year or a year and a half from now, I don't know, it'll actually be a real proposal that dealerships are going to be forced to deal with. All this is just, everything takes too damn long.
It's so true. Why can't we just keep it simple, stupid? Keep it simple.
Lawyers only.
Yeah, lawyers won't allow that to happen.
Yeah, I don't get paid as much. All right, let's switch gears really quickly. We're not getting too far away from the legal world. Pops, you sent me this. A YA community member had emailed it to you.
Yes.
Turns out the state of Florida filed 87 criminal complaints against Vroom for title delays. What's the story here, Dad? Anything new?
Well, the same old, same old. You know, they can't seem, at least in, so far in 87 cases, which is probably going to turn out to be 8,700 cases.
Yeah,
but 87 cases.
Yep.
They haven't been able to provide their Florida customers with a title within the 30 to 45 days that they're supposed to. and the TV station that did a story on this, they're trying to find even more people. And at this point, they're offering Vroom a way to just pay a fine, $87,000, $1,000 for each.
Do they
incident.
Get a slap too?
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
So there needs to be some real action on behalf of the citizenry of Florida from their state's attorney general to actually go. I mean, they all know it's happening, okay? Carvana almost lost their license to sell cars in Florida because they had the same issue. Vroom has this issue. I guarantee you the local dealers aren't getting away with it to the same degree that these out-of-state corporations are. But Florida needs to take care of, protect their citizens from these predators, because that's what they are. They have they sell cars to people. They don't title them in a timely fashion. Their temporary registrations run out, and then they can't legally drive the vehicle that they're making a payment on. Okay. And you're gonna charge Vroom $1,000 for that. Well, what about the inconvenience to the customer? What? Just protect the people in your damn state.
Do you think that if this would happen to an official in the state of Florida, the attorney general, a commissioner, or two or three, do you think that if they themselves got their car for their son or their daughter or for themselves from Vroom and didn't have the title and was told that, hey, you can't drive, you don't have the title, we don't have your tags and everything processed, do you think that would put a fire under them if it happened directly to them or an immediate family member where they actually had to deal with it and not their neighbor or not, you know, the millions of normal, regular, daily people? What if it happened directly to them? What if they had to go through it themselves? Do you think that would change things?
Absolutely. And you know, if you're an elected public official, you know, your constituents' fire is your fire. Okay? It's just that simple. So if it happens to your constituent, it's the same as if it happened to you. Treat it as such. Because if you were the attorney general and you bought a car from Vroom and it didn't get titled and your temporary registration ran out, right, I guarantee you that you would probably send off a letter on, official government stationery saying, where's my damn title? Because if there is no damn title in X amount of days, this is what's about to happen to you. And it shouldn't take it happening to, like, the attorney general for them to start taking care of the people that it's happening to in their state. If it happens to your constituent, it's the same as it happened to you.
Well, let's take a peek in the chat here. Jay Nagami is really having a field day. Buy now, but no title.
Yeah.
Free delivery, but no title. We have all kinds of cars you want, but no title. 500 point inspection, but no title. All right. Then we've got here from Short Round. But doesn't the title come from the bank or the DMV or processed by them? Couldn't that be the state's fault? Can one of you help us all understand why this title issue is not necessarily a bank issue? It could be a state issue, but why it's actually kind of like squarely on these companies?
Well, the dealership has responsibility first, and that's where it starts. It starts with the dealership's title department. Sometimes a finance person will do part of that as well. So it starts with the dealership. They have to get the information to the DMV, and I think that's where the disconnect is. They're just not doing it properly. They're not, either not getting it to the DMV, they're not filling out the required forms, or they're not filling them out properly, which is something else that I heard about Carvana. And that's where it starts. Once you get the required information over to the DMV, it's typically a pretty quick turnaround to generate a title and get it to the bank. Some states have a two-title process where you get a copy of it. The bank holds the
original
interest. Yeah, the what's it called, Ray? The interest filing.
Security interest filing, the SIF.
Right. Hmm. But it starts with the dealership doing their work. Like Ray said, just do your damn job.
And in this case, the dealership is an out-of-state entity. Okay. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Vroom and Carvana sell cars that they don't have titles to yet.
Yes, okay. And then there's that.
Where they had to make a payoff on the car when they bought it from a customer. And they are then waiting on the bank to send them the title showing that the lien's been released so that Carvana or Vroom can then title it in their name before they title it in the customer's name. So in a certain sense, they can be waiting on the bank. But logistically, they shouldn't be selling the vehicle until they actually have the title so that they can then comply with that customer state's titling laws. It's not really that complicated.
Right.
Okay. It's really a pretty simple process.
Breaking news. Breaking news. In my Twitter notifications 37 seconds ago from Mike Levine. Zach, we're looking into these cases. This truck was originally purchased by a customer who sold it to a dealer group that is now listing it again. It's a used vehicle. Okay, because there was one, I didn't even bring it up on the show today, guys. A dealership group, World Ford Pensacola, was selling a pre-owned F-150 Lightning for $194,000 because it's pre-owned. And now, Pops, you've spoken about how when you used to work at Penske Automotive Group, you weren't allowed to mark vehicles up over MSRP when they were new cars, so you would title them in the title of the leasing company and then sell them as used cars so you could mark them up.
Yes.
Mr. Levine, I'm a commoner like the rest of us, so I'm not familiar with the tactics dealers use, but maybe you're right. You know what's interesting?
Yes.
You know what's interesting about his response, and I'm going to reply back to him. Maybe we'll reply back live. Yeah. Isn't there a no sale provision in my purchase?
I swear I was literally just going to ask you that. I was going to ask, how did that happen?
We're going to respond together.
How did
together.
That happen? Because I thought that there was that no.
Well, that's a proposal. And if a customer doesn't agree to sign that as an addendum to their sales contract, then it doesn't apply. And like I said yesterday, we need customers to go into dealerships with a make me whole addendum that if they fall into some type of financial difficulty and they have to get rid of their new vehicle within the first year and they sell it and they can't get all their money out of it, that the dealership agrees to make them a whole.
Because there
isn't a dealership principal in America that's going to sign that. So if they won't sign that, there's no reason why a customer should sign a no resale agreement. Just saying. But that was so nice of Mr. Levine or Levine.
To respond.
Or ask him phonetically how he would like us to mention his name. We've had this discussion before. These are franchised independent businesses. They are free to sell at whatever damn prices the market will pay. And if there's somebody out there that'll spend $140,000 for that Lightning, then the dealership's allowed to sell it for that. And there isn't a damn thing Ford can do about it. And I don't care how many memos they want to write or harshly worded emails they want to send to their dealer bodies. These are independent businesses. So go ahead.
No, I would love to ask our audience. I would love to ask our people in chat. And if you're watching this later, do you think there are people out there that would pay $194,000 for that truck? Yes or no? It's a simple question. Yes or no? Do you think that there are people out there that would pay that kind of money?
Unfortunately, I think there are.
I don't know. Every comment I read on like TikTok and whatnot, people are all like, I would never do that. But then evidently people are buying these cars.
Somebody does.
That's the point. What Ray just said, the dealership can, you're an independent business. You can sell your t-shirt for whatever you want to sell your t-shirt for.
If you want to buy it, if you want to buy the t-shirts and sell them for less than what you bought them for, you can do that. When I had my golf store in Arizona and my Spalding rep came in and he said, they sell golf balls. And he said, our 15 ball pack is $15.99 wholesale to you, Ray. We have found that it sells best at $14.99 retail. I'm thinking, okay, so I only lose $1 a box for every box I sell. But if that's the decision that the retailer makes, that's fine. And if the retailer then says, well, you know what? I think that 15 ball pack's worth $30 and people are willing to pay for it, then why wouldn't I turn around and sell it for $30? It's all what the market will bear. And the market bears whatever consumers are willing to spend. So we need to, as consumers, we need to, I don't know, bite our lip a little bit and not do something. Igor wanted me to read a comment about the titling thing, if I may.
Please Carvana, do it. I'm going to share my screen just so everyone can see the Twitter stuff going on.
Okay. Carvana and Vroom are being pushed to the side at DMVs because CarMax is paying huge bucks to get their documents processed first. That's what I've heard. And, you know, whether that's true or not, I have no way of knowing. But if it is true, then, well, guess what? The state attorney general needs to do an investigation into that going, because somebody's making some extra money somewhere that they shouldn't be making. So maybe what's wrong is there's just way too much greed.
Talk about taking advantage of the situation.
I'm so pleased to be having a conversation here with Mr. Levine. I hope that this picks up a little bit of steam, because we really do need to get folks like him on the show to be able to help us understand some of the challenges that I'm sure he's facing. I mean, I've never been in his shoes. I'm naive. I get it. I want to help educate people so that they don't end up accidentally spending $50,000 extra dollars. Or in this case, like you said, you know, use car. Help us. We don't want to be pointing fingers when we shouldn't be, but there's definitely an opportunity for him to leverage our platform. We're more than welcome to have
anyone else. I would love that. And you know what? I wonder if he's watching it right now.
If you are Mr. Levine or Levine, please tell us how to pronounce your last name so that we do not appear like we're trying to be disingenuous. We are very serious about wanting to help consumers. Anyone who wants to come on and help us understand better the situation, the problems that these dealerships are facing, the OEMs are facing, you're welcome. Just email me or Ray or you, Kimberly, Zach, Ray, or Kimberly at joinyaa.com.
Yes, I would love that. Yes, please.
Man. Okay. All right. Anything else? Oh, it's Friday. We got to end with some highlights, some good things that happened.
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to go first?
You go first.
I want you to go
first. Okay. My win is, after I got really frustrated last night with the pairing my hearing aids to my phone, and I ripped the left hearing aid out of my ear and threw it, and it hit the wall and it didn't work anymore. I was
that
able
is oddly to, specific, Dad.
Yes. Well, I'm a man of the truth. Okay. I contacted the hearing aid people. I told them what I did, that it was all my fault, but they said, maybe we can troubleshoot it. And we did. And I'm happy to report that both hearing aids are working properly again.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. I'm so happy.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm going to start therapy soon.
I'll believe that when I see it. All right, Kimberly, what was the win for you this week?
All right, I just want to do a call out to Natalie Velasquez from our community for her stick-to-itiveness. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm using it. Her stick-to-itiveness. She watched our videos that we did with Laura. Our role play videos. She learned a lot, and buddy, she had a big win, and I'm just so proud of her. She was looking for one of those vehicles too, a Toyota Corolla, but she's in our success stories, and I am so proud of her though, because she really, as Ray says, knowledge is power. Ray says applied knowledge is power. Natalie, great job, girl. You did it. You did it all the way. And she did it because of her stick-to-itiveness. You know, the very first one she found, they wanted to add another $9,000 to dealer accessories and other things. And after 6 hours of continuous and persistent negotiation, she only paid MSRP taxes and fees, getting her out-the-door price to $25,000. Now, a lot of people might say, 6 hours, I'm out of there. But she went through other dealerships first, okay? And she found the best deal. And she used her stick-to-itiveness and some of our videos to help her out. Yes.
I think she did. Hit the nail on the head here. Let me pull it up on the screen. Bam.
Boom. Yes. I'm very proud of her. Very proud.
I wish I could press all these buttons at the same time, but she's also going to get a... And let's pull it up on the screen so everyone can see. If you're not on the community forum, this is one of the best and most impressive resources we have put together as a group, as a community. Here's Natalie's story. Let me say off by first saying, man, that was a really rough read right there. Let me start off by saying a ginormous thank you to Ray, Zach, Kimberly, and the entire YAA team. You can read Natalie's story here, and let's double check. 481 others, if you just go to the free community forum. So please consider doing that. Join YAA.com/community. It's awesome seeing folks come together and do that.
Yes.
All right.
How about you, Zach? What's your win?
Oh, here we go from Alan saying, get the car mom back on for her opinion since her family owns 3 St. Louis dealerships. Yeah, Kelly's actually going to be on. What day is it next week, Dad? Is she going to be on?
The 30th.
30th,
yes.
So Thursday of next week. Yep, Kelly, the car mom, will be on with us Thursday of next week. So we'll definitely talk to her about the car mom, talk to her about the dealerships, all that fun stuff. All right, I'm trying to think. My win. We closed on Car Edge. So if you didn't know, CarEdge.com is now owned by us. And super proud of that. The data that they have on their website. It's the first time I've ever navigated one of those processes. So that was, I learned a lot, which was really, really, really good. I feel a lot more confident if I ever have to do that again in the future. The data they have is incredible. I mean, go on there and you want to see how much your BMW, X3 is going to cost over the next 5 years in terms of depreciation, estimated insurance costs, fuel costs, maintenance and repairs, how much that's going to cost per year, the likelihood of a major repair. Everything is on their website. Actually, let me pull it up. I mean, it's just so impressive. And so ways that we can integrate that into our website. Oh man, I'm super happy about that. That's my win from this week.
Yes.
That's not just a win for you, Zach. That's a win for our community.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of work to do here. Obviously, it's not like the most attractive website in the world. But for example, if you go to let's do a GMC.
If I may, Zach, I'm not the most attractive spokesperson in the world.
But... when you go to the depreciation, you can see over 5 years, here's how much the GMC Canyon's going to lose. You can see, if you change how many miles you drive, everything will update. It's really good data that we got our hands on, and I'm really proud of that. And then if I can't, it's so hard to navigate in here though. All right, we'll go to a GMC. Oh, that just keeps you on depreciation. I was going to show you the loan calculator that they had built. It's really impressive. There you go. You can see when it's the best value. Anyway, lots of data. We got to figure out how to leverage it all, but super proud of that.
Very good. That's excellent, nicely Zach. Done. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
We'll hit the applause button.
Hit the button, please.
I'm sorry. I'm getting distracted because Mike Levine keeps replying to me.
Oh, good. Yeah. What's he saying now? I'm dying to know.
Sharing the screen. I'm sharing the screen. Zach, if you want to buy a vehicle at a price you're willing to pay, order it, agree to the price in writing at the time the order is placed. So how about we do this? How about we do this, gang?
We tell people that all the time.
Yeah, no, this is what I'm going to do.
Okay, so he's not watching. All right, he's not watching then. Okay.
Yeah. So let's see. Should we send him? How about we send him this one that has 500,000 views? Or maybe this one that's got, what do you?
Screenshot them all and send them to him.
Yeah, here, actually, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Capture visible parts. Stay tuned, guys. Hang tight. I know you can't see my screen quite yet, but give me 1 second. This is fun being on Twitter live. All right, let me save that. Now let me come back here. We're going to go back to Twitter. All right. How do I not? I don't want to reply in a snarky way, so we're going to reply.
Hey, this is what we've been trying. Just tell them this is what we've been trying to do for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I agree with you for the past two and a half years. We've been educating people to do exactly
that.
You might want to take a look.
Yeah, check it out.
Of folks deal with a lot of BS, even with our coaching.
Yes.
It's sad to see people get taken advantage of. All right. Okay, this is how you make friends on the internet, gang. This is how you make friends on the internet.
I love
all right,
that. Guys. That's great.
And I thought what you were supposed to do was swipe right.
Nope, I think that's a different app, Dad.
different app, Ray. We'll go over that later.
Thank you. Somebody needs to straighten my ass out.
Neil's asking, Saturday show? Maybe. I gotta talk to my girlfriend. It was her birthday last week, and I think she's having a birthday party tomorrow, so I got to figure out the timing on that. So there may or may not be a Saturday show. We'll post on our Instagram. If you're not following us on Instagram, please follow us over there. We'll post and let everyone know what we're doing tomorrow. Otherwise, thank you, Pops. Thank you, Miss Kimberly Klein. Great week. Great Friday. Go enjoy the rest of the day, and I'll keep having a conversation here with Mr. L.
Yeah,
I'm playing it safe. I'm playing it safe.
Mr. L, yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Zach. Thanks for hosting. And yes. Everybody out there, we'll see you back here again on Monday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with more news that you can use from YAA. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Join us again next time,
which is probably tomorrow,
to get the news you can use from YAA. YAA is your trusted source for all things auto. Thanks for listening.
See you soon.